Well, if you brought your Bibles, you should have. But if you brought your Bibles, turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's get into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enjoyed your presence and the praise and worship and music, Father, now I ask that you guide my lips to speak truth. Father, may your people focus, may they hear. And between everything, Father, we know that much can be accomplished for the sake of mankind and understanding what Easter is all about. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Easter is our 4th of July. And Father, we have our freedom in you. Now, Father, may I share with your people the meaning of that freedom and how costly it was. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote something that was tremendous. And so at verse 10 of Philippians 3, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already received or perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And many people don't understand this particular passage here that Paul was referring to. But he was referring to the very reason why Jesus came and had died and had to go through resurrection. And if you notice, he said here that I want to know that fellowship of his suffering. Now, he didn't want us to go and suffer the way he did, you know, physically on the cross and everything. But what he was referring to was the purpose behind him doing that. And it's amazing how many people don't really understand the meaning of Easter and why it's so important to understand of the resurrection. And I want you to think about something. It was in one of the songs, but Jesus, when he came to earth and began his ministry, can you imagine how he felt knowing that he had to come and pay the price for where the first Adam failed in what he was supposed to do? You know, everybody seems to think this was all pre-designed the way that it happened and that God is teaching us all something. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one bit. I believe that God, through Adam, had a plan to use the authority of Adam to incarcerate that outlaw forever. Because he said even hell itself was not prepared for mankind, but it was prepared for the devil and his bunch. And so I think God had a plan set in place to use Adam to incarcerate that outlaw. Now, there are some people who have what we call sovereignty thinking that everything that is pre-designed by God, even to the point of their own reasoning for why they miss the mark with God, because they don't want to take the responsibility of their own choosing. And thank God we have a right to choose. Amen. We have a right to choose to be what God wants us to be or be whatever we want. You know, God has given us that freedom. But if you will, let's go to another place that's so important to understand. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, it's pretty interesting how this passage started out. It said at verse 1, John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a great teacher and come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course, you know he was thinking from the natural. I mean, we know that. And Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people don't understand this particular verse, but when he said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he is referring to unless a man is brought into the world. When he said he's born of water, he's talking about natural birth. Because when a man is born naturally into this world, he's born into this world not only as a physical being, but also a spiritual being. His inner man is developed with his outer man. It's not that God has little spirits floating around in heaven, and oh, make me a flesh, make me, that's a lie. He set it forth in the law of Genesis that when man was made from God, which was Adam, that he breathed into Adam the breath of lives, plural, meaning the life of the flesh and the life of the spirit. And then in the Hebrew it says a man became a speaking spirit. He had a physical being. He had to have it to contact this realm. But really, to begin with, before the fall, Adam communicated with God through his spirit until he took the fall. And so, to understand really the purpose of redemption and resurrection, you have to understand what you are as a physical being and a spiritual being. You have a soul. You have a spirit, and you live within a physical being. And here in John chapter 3, Jesus said at verse 5, you have to be born into this world naturally, and you also have the spirit that comes with that. And this is what qualifies a person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, he doesn't. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who has came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him has eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned or judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so these are tremendous passages here that we're reading, but a lot of people don't really fully understand the fullness of what it means to have the privilege of not only being brought into this world as a human being, but also the tremendous privilege of receiving Christ in their lifetime to be born from above. And that's why he said that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And man doesn't realize that when he's born into this world, brought into this world, he has been brought into this world not only as a physical being, but also in the image of God. And a lot of people don't understand, what do you mean by the image of God? Well, when God created Adam, he created him as a pattern for all of mankind. And not only did he create him as a physical being, but a spiritual being. See, Adam was to live forever, eternally, with God. But because of the fall, he only lived out 935 years. Or 930 years. And as a result of his life ended. But that was not the intention for mankind. And so when we say that man is in the image of God, we're referring to the spirit of a man, not his physical being. And a lot of people don't understand that, but that's, you see, what you are spiritually is what you are in God. That is the person that you are that was created after him. That's what makes mankind so unique, is because they are a spiritual being. But if you will, real quick, like, turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, chapter 8, probably are the most powerful chapters in the entire New Testament. And yet people don't really fully grasp the significance of understanding these chapters. But I don't have time to go into chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8. But I do want to take a look at the first Adam. The Bible calls the first Adam, Adam. And Adam is not his real name. Matter of fact, Adam's real name, it's funny the translators didn't put it that way, but his real name is Adam. And the word Ah is father, and the word Dam is blood. And so when Adam and Eve were both created by God, they were both originally called Adam, which means the father's blood. And so a lot of people don't understand that, but that's true. In other words, they literally came from the very womb of God himself. He created them, and so they had their existence. So when we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, there's a great mystery that leads into the understanding of Romans chapter 6, in the Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. But we don't want to cover the other chapters. We want to start with verse 12. And we want to really get an understanding why Jesus had to come, had to die, and then come to resurrection. If he didn't come to resurrection, then him coming to earth and dying had no validity. He had to have a resurrection. Praise God. Because you and I needed the resurrection as well. So in verse 12, he says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and he's referring to sin nature, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not reckoned or taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam, notice, to Moses. even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. And the sin of the likeness of transgression of Adam was a personal word from God Himself not to transgress. And He did. And He's saying there that because of that transgression, all of mankind fell under sin as an act of one man's disobedience. And He said they did not sin after the likeness of Adam's sin. What does it mean after the likeness? They didn't have a personal word from God not to sin. They just inherited His disobedience. So the disobedience of Adam fell on all of mankind. And mankind didn't know it at that time. And so therefore that sin nature passed upon all men, because they manifested the sin nature. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one coming, is what it says in the Greek. Well, we know that Jesus is not a type of the first Adam, but He's a figurehead that the first Adam was. He was the figure, the first Adam was a figurehead for all of fallen mankind. But the second Adam is that same type, but He is a figurehead for all to resurrection, to newness of life. Praise God. And so He goes on to say, but the free gift is not like the offense, for by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And so it's not like that the transgression came through the first man, Adam, one man. Now God's grace covers many men who inherited the disobedience of the first Adam. Oh, praise God for the grace and the mercy and the glory of God. And here you and I have inherited eternal life, and we didn't even know that we needed that inheritance of eternal life until we came to the place in our life where we knew that we needed the Savior. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And He goes on to say, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in the judgment of all. But the free gift came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, I like that, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in judgment, even so through the one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reason Jesus had to come to resurrection, He had to come out of the grave. And just like when He approached the 12 disciples and the loved ones who followed, He said, all hail, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and in earth. And what He was saying is mankind now does not no longer have to be in the entrapment of being judged for eternal damnation, but now all of mankind forever is now settled in the fact that Jesus came out of the grave, resurrected to newness of life, and turned around and gave that ability to all mankind in spite of them. Glory to God. Glory to God. So whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not talking about giving up your natural life. You can have that more abundant. But it's talking about giving up your eternal destiny of damnation. Now that through Jesus you have a right to choose your eternal destiny with Him, because you are an eternal being whether you're born again or not. Hallelujah. And thank God that I discovered that revelation, that greatness. Thank God I discovered that my soul also has the mind of the Spirit restored back to Him. It only knew what my natural mind knew. But when I got born again, the Word of God divided the understanding of my soul. When one part of me is the mind of my Spirit and the other part of me is the mind of my flesh. Thank God I have the mind of Christ. That's what I inherited when I got born again. Hallelujah. I'm no longer under the dominion of that natural mind. I'm now free to choose my own eternal destiny through His resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not a victim of Him any longer. I'm not a victim of anyone. I have a right and the freedom to choose because of Jesus' resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I'm just awe inspired that He gave me this privilege. The other morning when I was in His presence and I was just thanking Him for this privilege, I could have gone my whole life. Like my neighbor, I could have gone my whole life and wake up one morning and drop dead. And had somebody just previously told me about Jesus, and they said, this particular neighbor of mine said, I have my belief, you have yours. Leave me alone. He woke up one morning, stepped out of his body, and went off into eternity, never knowing the Lord. And he was 70 or 80 years old. He was in retirement. I remember when he first bought the home and moved across the street. He always avoided me like a plague because he found out I was a preacher. He should have never avoided me. Because when you step out of this body, you're still very much alive. There's another part of you ain't seen yet. Wouldn't it be nice if we could convince people if they would open their shirt up and look on the inside of them, they would see a being in there called Spirit. And they would see that critter in there saying, oh, get born again, whatever you do. These flames are hot down there. They'd be crying out to you. But you can't do that with people. They have to simply choose. They have to make the choice for themselves. Problem is that when I gave my heart to the Lord, it was on an Easter Sunday. Remember that, Sue? And I was sitting in my seat, and the Spirit began working on me. And I saw all my marijuana go by me. I saw all the booze go by me. I saw life in general go by me, and I'm sitting there. And it's funny how you'll hang on to that stuff. And then once you step out in faith and give your heart to the Lord, you just, your eye, you see, and you don't know how you see, but you see. Well, that's what Jesus meant, that being born again is like the wind. You know when it comes and goes, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but you can't detect it. It's just in you. You know, you just see that you see. How many of you got born again and said, everything looks different? How many of you experienced that? Well, that's because you got born again. You know, because everything looks different. Boom. Well, what happened? The Creator entered your inner man, made contact with your spiritual being, and said, hello, I'm God. And you go, wow, wow. Now that's real neat when you first get born again. It's when God begins to tell you how to think that you begin to wonder whether you want to continue or not. Thank God I chose to move on with God. I've been born again. I've been born from above because of his out resurrection. I'm going to share something with you. It's going to shock a lot of you. One day, I was imagining Jesus on the cross. How many of you ever seen that movie, The Passion? And I was sitting there weeping over seeing Jesus on the cross. And that movie will get to you. It's bloody and gory. I mean, it painted the true picture of what it was really about. And as I was sitting there looking at that, I began to weep and say, thank you, Lord, for what Jesus had did for me. I thank you that he would have taken my place. And the Lord spoke something to me that I never, ever thought about in my life. And he said, son, you are seeing yourself being crucified. No, wait a minute. Hold on now. What? He said, remember in Isaiah 53, you talked about, you asked me one time, you said, why was you so excited about pouring your wrath out on Jesus? You know, do you know over in Isaiah 53, it ends that with that statement? It pleased the Father to pour his wrath out and torment his soul. And I always wondered about that. Why it would please God to do that? And then I began to realize I'm looking at it from my side of the cross. I'm seeing Jesus put on that cross. But from God's side to that cross, he sees you on that cross. He sees the wrath of God poured out on you. And that satisfied the claims of justice. He vindicated humanity for the first Adam. He set us all free. All of humanity free. Saved, unsaved. We're all free now to choose because he reconciled the world unto himself through the death of his son. What a tremendous love story. He willingly went to the cross and he willingly was crucified because he said, for the joy that was set before him, seeing many sons come to glory, knowing he'd come out of the grave, out of resurrection, and making all of mankind available to receive him and become born again from above. Glory to God. And boy, when I saw that, I began to wait a minute. That's why this age, this generation of grace is so complete through the redemptive work of Christ. In order for the wrath of God to pour out that last 7-year period on this earth, he has to take the church out of it, for it was not designed for the wrath of God. For the wrath of God was settled on the cross. I have been co-crucified with him, that as he was resurrected to newness of life, I too am resurrected to newness of life. Hallelujah. I now get to be free to choose for myself what I'm going to do. And I tell you, it's in righteousness. I choose righteousness. I choose righteousness. Hallelujah. You guys ready to take communion? Ushers, come forward and we'll hand out the communion elements. Isn't it good to know that Jesus did it? It's amazing how we are in this generation, this time period of whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's just a matter of you stepping out and doing it. But Jesus went on to say, they love darkness rather than light. Praise the Lord. the communion elements. Powerful. Powerful. You know what? If you're here this morning and you feel judged or condemned, I'll tell you what, don't. Don't feel that way. You can settle it with the communion elements. You can walk out of here feeling good. Well, you know, I haven't done this, and who cares? You can make it right with God right now. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. You can do it today. Well, you don't understand what I... Hey, God understands. And when you put it under the blood, it's forgotten. You know, Dean Braxton told me, he says, you'll be surprised who's there. And you'd be surprised who isn't. So you don't know what's in the heart of men, but I know one thing. If you mean business with God this morning and you want to make your walk with Him right this morning, in spite of all that you've done, you can do it. It's called freedom of choice. You can get right back in His good graces and walk with Him, walk out of here and feel good. Because He moved on you to come to church this morning, because He wants you to move on you to for you to feel good when you leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Say, I believe it. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 The freedom that we have. You know, my whole life I grew up a slave to wrong choices. Now that I have the mind of Christ, I know how to make right choices. Amen? That comes with the territory. I can't believe now how I used to think. You want me to tell you how I used to think? You better say no. Sue, you could tell how I used to think. Huh? She goes, you were crazy. Even all of her sisters says, don't marry that idiot. He's a nutcase. Thank God, God knew my heart. Amen. He knew if He could jump in there, He could change it. Helen, I remember when Sue and I went to get married, we couldn't find anybody to marry us. Remember that, Sue? We couldn't find anybody. We go to these churches and we say we want to get married. Oh, well, do you belong to the church? No, I don't. I don't even know what a church is about. It's for funerals and weddings, right? And they said, well, you're not saved. I said, well, what do you mean saved? Well, you know, is Jesus the Lord of your life? No. Well, then we can't marry you. So Sue and I were trying all these churches and we finally went to this one church. It's a precious man, and he told us, no, I can't marry you. You're not saved. Remember that, Sue? And so we went home, and I said, Sue, where do we go get married? I didn't know you could go down to the county city building and hook it up there under a badge. And so the phone rings. So I go, and I answer the phone, and it's this pastor. And he says, Jan, he says, I know you came to the church and I turned you down. And he said, but the Lord told me to marry you and Sue. I said, who? Said what? Remember that, Sue? And then, matter of fact, I said, Sue, you know what he said? The Lord said that he was to marry us. Oh. And so we went to his home. We couldn't go to the church. Went to his home. And he hooked us up. We were married. Remember that, Sue? I won't tell you after, but anyway. And you know, I often thought back on that and laughed about it. Until finally, after I'd given my heart and life to the Lord, I began to realize he told that man to marry us because he knew what was ahead. He knew we'd give our heart and life to him. And I'll never forget going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, thank you so much for you showing me how it was in your will for us to be married. And I'm no longer crazy, right? Don't give me that Sue look. So this morning, you know, if you feel down and you don't feel that even God loves you, I got news for you all. God loves every one of us in this building today. And for us to take communion together, the whole purpose of it is not only to heal our fellowship with each other, but also to heal our fellowship with Him. Give yourself that opportunity today through the communion. You know, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And he said in the bread, take, eat, for this represents my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And the reason he wanted us to do it in remembrance of him is so that we would remain together, undivided and intact with him. And so let's do that this morning. Let's first of all take the bread. Acknowledge him in it and eat. And after he did that, he took a cup. He said, this is symbolic of my blood, which is going to be shed for you. This is the symbol of that life, because the life is in the blood. That life has the ability to heal all wounds that mankind needs. Let's take it right. Pass the cups to the center aisle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone that even was here this morning. And I thank you for the music and the musicians. And they all did such a wonderful job. I thank you for Sethi and how she explained out her desire to see her Lord again. Father, my wish for everyone here this morning would be that they would get to a place in their walk with you that they would see you so clearly. They would see you so clearly. They can do that, Father. They don't have to wait till they get to heaven. They can see you as you are right now. Maybe not your shape, but they can see your heart. They can find it. For God, you are love. And your love reaches the deepest, darkest places in man's life to bring him out. I know and trust in your love. Amen. Amen. Well, everybody, stand up. Did you get all the cups? Okay. Go ahead and stand up. Hey, I didn't have to make you sit down again. Yes, Mike. Okay. Can you borrow what? What you want to borrow?
Yeah, this right here.
Oh, yeah. Mike has something he wants to share with you. Make it quick.
Okay.
I'm just
Happy
kidding.
Easter.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was joined the service. I don't know why in the sugar smack. Every time I come here, I get nervous. I don't know how come. I ain't afraid of y'all, but I'm just nervous, okay?
We're all afraid of you.
Anyway, while the show was while the service was working, going on, and I was trying to enjoy the service and mind my own business and just give myself to the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost said, we got to do a little something, something. So I wrote this poem. It's about Jesus. About Easter. Said it's not about eggs and candy. But it's about what God made handy. The salvation of man and a mighty plan. Everyone can just raise your hand. Open your heart. For he will come in and never depart. For he has risen and given us great vision of what it is to really be living by that which was given. The Son of Man with a godly plan, the hope and the glory is for you. Open your heart and receive the view of what the Lord our God has done for you. And you alone have a way home. It's by receiving him alone, the King of glory, unto whom there is no other. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Full of love is he, the Lord God above. Now in you, that you too can come alive by the death and the life of only whom he alone can provide. God is truly is on our side. Look at the love he has provided. He is so excited about us.
That was very good, Mike. That was awesome, man. That was awesome, Mike. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, we receive it as from the Lord. Amen. You guys going to have a good Easter? You're going to have the best. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Father, as they go their way today, may they have a wonderful Easter. And Father, may they keep you on their mind for what Easter is really about. Thank you for them, Father. Thank you for their love and their dedication to being part. Amen. God bless you.